Let's talk about Father's Day. Today is Father's Day, and we want to honor and encourage fathers in our congregation and in our families. You can't hardly do stuff like this or somewhere without reaching back to Christmas a little bit. Around Christmas time each year, we hear a lot about the birth of Christ and some of the characters who were in the text, like Mary and Joseph. You just don't go through Christmas that you don't hear all of that. Almost always, other than Jesus, Mary has center stage, and Joseph takes a back seat to all that was going on. If you just think back, you hear a lot about Jesus, you hear a lot about Mary, you hear a tat about Joseph, and all the rest of it is just left behind. Almost always, other than Jesus, Mary had the center stage. Though it's not Christmas, we're going to talk about Joseph, okay? Joseph was a powerful man in his faith. Joseph was the husband of Mary, and what you might call, if you loosely call it, the adopted father of Jesus Christ. God chose Mary to be the one who should bring out the Christ child into the flesh and give him the name Jesus. Through the working of God, this very young man named Joseph became the stand-in father of God's own son. That's remarkable to me. Joseph, through God's awesome providence, was given the responsibility to raise this boy and become his mentor in his formative years and into his manhood. That's a big job. If this says anything, it tells us who are fathers exactly the kind of role we have to play to be a family that's called by God. If this says anything, it tells us who are fathers exactly the kind of role model that it must play to be a family that's called by God. This is big stuff. In all of that working, God was and still is reminding us that we're also called by God for the spiritual training and development of children, be it ours or others, and He's given us birth of children so that they can grow in adulthood and pass that on. We know that there are a lot of fatherless parents. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know statistics. I really set out to probe it and look and see. But I can tell you just now, looking in a room today like this, matching it back to 20 years ago, we got a problem. This is a problem going on all over the church. It's all over the country. It's not as much overseas than it is here, but in the United States, we're dying. We're turning to dinosaurs. There is a dumbing down that will not quit. And all of that has to do with some meddlesome things that's going in higher places that don't need to be there and needs to be taken out. But that's another story. You know, not all of us have a normal pattern of everything. A lot of times, our patterns of things happen when they happen. When things just happen, you just have to go do it right there. And not always can everything be that convenient to be so easy for those in other places. This fellow Joseph did not just happen. Rather, he was chosen by God to be his earthly father, just as Mary was chosen to be his mother. So one of the very important things to remember here and understand is that both Mary and Joseph are teenagers about this time who would have never had a child before up to this time. Joseph, even at a young age, had many good and godly traits that many seasoned and older men do not have even to this day. In Matthew chapter 1, 18 and 19, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save the people from his sins." Now, we were doing some of this stuff in class earlier, and we were seeing all over the book that God is cleaning us up. God is taking care of us. He's reaching down and working in it to give us the greatest gift. In verse 22, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate the marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. How many people do you think would buy a story like that? I've talked to a lot of people over the years talking about the Bible. Most of the people that want to steer away from the Bible and you talking to them, it's because they don't know anything. If they're put into that, then they might be called on what the book says in this place or this place. So a lot of that is, it's not real. How many people do you think would buy that story? Not many of them. Not only did Joseph marry the girl, he did it understanding that it was a birth and a marriage that would literally be out of this world. So let's look at this guy. Let's talk about him a little bit, see what we can find in this. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save the people from his sins." This man was so in love with this girl that he was willing to put himself in public disgrace to keep her in his embrace and to honor God in the process. These people are real. Some may not think too much of this, but in that culture, when you were betrothed, in that day and time, it was a huge issue to break it. It took big stuff to break that union. When you were betrothed, these words are in the text. It's much more than what we call an engagement. When Anita begged me to marry her, you know, we had to go through that beg. I don't think it worked that way, though, now that I think about it. She didn't beg me. I was begging. Brothel was a 12-month binding contract between the couple and the couple's parents. These 12 months was to make sure the bride would be pure, and within that time frame of pregnancy would show up if the girl was hiding something. The Gospel of Luke tells us that when the angel Gabriel came to Mary and the plans that were given there, she was astonished and perplexed. It was only after the angel had taken her through it that she seemed to get some peace in the matter. But to Joseph, this news had betrayed him, and in his mind he thought she must be unfaithful to him. What does Joseph do? Because her husband was faithful to the law, he still didn't know what to do. Now, what do you do when you get a situation like that? You're going to be married, and you're not sure, and it's the day of the wedding. Have you ever been to a wedding where somebody run out of the church building? Do you know that happens? That's probably a really good thing that happened. Because if you're going to run, it would be best to run that day. One of the things that's important here is that Joseph was a caring father. That's important. Isn't that important? He protected him from the hatred of Herod. And eventually, he taught this boy the carpenter's trade. He gave that kid more than just being a father. In today's world, you'd have a hard time for people, say, deciding, you know, we want a nice house. We want a house about so and so big, you know, and whatever it is, you know, whatever size it would be. And so you start to do this, and you start laying out plans, you know, drawing things and say, well, they'll want it this way, this way, this way, this way, this way. And then you go call the builders and all of that. When I was a kid, you know what we did? We built our own house. My daddy worked at a paper mill in Spring Hill, and I had time on my hands during the summer or after school, and we built on to the house we had. Nobody else came. I was 10 years old building on a house by myself. You won't get that anymore. That's probably gone. We have men who in this world who would forsake their children and think nothing of it. Do you believe that's true? We have something wrong in this world. The third thing we see is that Joseph was a man of faith and courage. In a time when it seemed as if Joseph's life was coming unraveled, he was willing to put himself aside and follow God. Listen to these verses. When he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home to be your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son. You will give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Listen to this. There seems to be two things here. One is Joseph was willing to listen to what the angel actually was saying to him. Now, I don't know about you. I have never had an angel come up to me, except for the one I married. Joseph was actually willing to listen to this angel. That was big. He obviously was familiar with prophetic scriptures concerning the coming of this Messiah. Ezekiel 18:9 says, the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk 2 verse 4 says, you know what it said? The just shall live by faith. Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. Galatians 3:11, the just shall live by faith. The Hebrews 10:38, the just shall live by faith. Which is this? Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is how God was bringing up children in the world. Faith and the Word of God eternally linked together. And our boy Joseph was able to live by faith because he was grounded in the Word of God. So time passes on. Matthew 2:13 says, angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, flee to Egypt with your children and his mother. And the angel said, stay there till I tell you to return, because Herod's going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up and he took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. So the offer was fulfilled that the Lord said through the prophet, out of Egypt I have called my son. Listen to this. You got all kind of pages after pages after pages talking about the power of God and the power of giving something else. There were times when our boys were a lot younger, and I was too. But we'd build anything. If we thought about it, we'd build it. If they wanted something in the playhouse, or if they wanted to go, you know, do something in the woods, we just built it. It wasn't a big deal. But it was time to do things like that with your kids. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. That when Jesus was 12 years old, they attended a festival as usual. It's obvious Joseph was regular in his worship to God. It's obvious of that. And he set an example for the rest of his family and his friends. But sometimes there are those who listen for other things. To hear about the little boy who was playing on Sunday morning while his dad was in a lounge chair reading the paper. The father looked at his boy, his son, and said, son, get yourself ready for church. The little boy asked, are you coming today, Daddy? The rabbi replied, no, I'm not coming, but I want you to hurry up and get ready. Little boy then said, did you used to go to church, Daddy, when I was a boy? He said, I most certainly did. As the little boy walked away, he mumbled, yeah, I bet he won't do me any good either. Is that what we got left? Is it true that families are watching lives of other people to say, I want to do that, I want to be like that? Father's Day is a day set aside to honor fathers. But the challenge to those of us who are fathers is to honor your family by being the kind of father God has ordained before us. Father's Day is a wonderful, wonderful time. It's often overlooked. It's not paid a lot of attention to it. Christmas would get way more copy. But I tell you what, you cut out all the dads in this country and you'll see what kind of mess you got. Now, on the other hand, there's a whole bunch of them in the country that needs to be gotten rid of because they have nothing to say. And we need to know that we have to stay on God's side. Have a good day today. Enjoy being with your families. And if you have any more of that good cake left, bring it every week for at least a month. I could get used to it. Alan, would you sing a song for us?